Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. A recent investigation from the Philadelphia Inquirer found that nearly half of the train engineers in the United States have operated a train that's killed someone. Meaning they've seen a death on the tracks, maybe suicide, or an accident, or any number of deadly incidents. The train engineers involved in deaths on the track say they struggle to handle the PTSD, nightmares, and anxiety that follow. In Philadelphia, they're often expected to return to work just 3 days later. Some say they choose not to go back at all. To learn more about the Inquirer's investigation, I spoke with Jason Lachlan. He's a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer who co-reported the story.
This is a really difficult thing for people in that profession, and it's surprisingly common. Estimates are that about almost half of engineers have had a fatality on the tracks at one point or another. In busy areas like Philadelphia, metropolitan areas, that number might be closer to 60%, and it does affect them. The people we profiled, we talked to a number of engineers and subway operators who had the experience, and they talked about being very upset about it and having a real recovery process they had to go through to come to terms with the experience.
Why are these deaths happening on train tracks?
As far as why people are doing it, that's a tough question. Nobody has a clear-cut answer, but what generally appears to be the case with suicides is people unfortunately use what's at hand. So if you're in an urban area, a subway platform or a train track is available. There seemed to be a correlation between people who live near tracks and people who chose to commit suicide that way. So it's unfortunately a matter of opportunity that seems to play a role.
What happens to train conductors or engineers if they happen to be in a train that ends up killing someone? What's the mental effect that has on someone?
The symptoms can be similar to PTSD, and some of them actually do develop PTSD. They go through anxiety, some face depression, trouble sleeping, nightmares. A number of the people I talked to discussed ruminating on the event and kind of thinking about it and thinking about the person who they hit, whether it was a suicide or not. It really weighs heavily on them.
Jason, is this more pronounced in Philly than it is around the country?
It depends on the mode. Our rate of deaths per mile on our subways is the highest in the country. It's a little different for railroads. We don't have nearly as extensive a subway system as New York City does. So it's the rate is higher than in New York City.
Now, why is that? I mean, is it that these, I mean, you know, you see railroad tracks are sadly pretty accessible, at least from what I've been able to ascertain here in New York. Is this an issue of accessibility to tracks, and should tracks be more difficult to be able to trespass and get access to?
Yeah, and this is a thing that we spent some time looking at, and it's really clear cut that barriers on platforms do make a difference. Anyone who's traveled in Europe or Asia has probably seen these kind of clear glass or plastic walls at the platforms that have doors that align with the train doors, and they open up when the train arrives, and otherwise there's no way to get at the tracks when there's not a train there. In Hong Kong, there was a study done that found that the platforms with those barriers had 60% fewer suicides. So they definitely work. They're really uncommon here in the United States. In Philadelphia, they are going to start experimenting with them at one of our busy stations in the next few years. As far as I know, New York City does not have any right now. Honolulu is putting them in their new light rail system. But part of the issue is they're very expensive. I think Honolulu is spending something like $28 million for 21 stations. And there's some technological hurdles as well, that American train systems aren't as automated as their counterparts in other countries, and the automation helps these barriers work better. There's one of the other things they're talking about is training staff, not police, but, you know, cashiers and engineers and conductors to recognize behavior that might indicate suicidal thoughts, and to engage with that person, not in an enforcement sort of way, but just go up to them and talk to them and see how they're doing. And that has been shown to be effective in other places. SEPTA is saying they're going to start training people to do that next year.
Why report on this topic, Jason? It's a pretty difficult topic to look into. Did you find out about this through a tip, or was there data that led you down this road?
You know, honestly, it's anecdotal. I've covered transportation in the Philly area for about 4 years. And my colleague I wrote this with, Dylan Purcell, he and I have done a number of projects together. And we just kind of, you know, chat and talk at work, and we'd bring up, like, well, there was another death on the railroads, and they just seem like they happen pretty often, and they do happen more or less once a month in this area. And a few years ago, we said we should look at that. You know, what does that do to the engineers when you're kind of helpless to watch this thing happening? And you know, how does that affect you? And it was a thing that we talked about, and finally this year, we were able to connect with the operators through the unions, and we were really lucky that so many people were willing to talk to us and really share some very difficult stories with us to put out in the public eye.
Among those stories, were there any that stood out? Were there any engineers that decided to leave their jobs entirely, or people who decided to keep going despite obviously what is a very traumatic experience?
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of people do just stick with it. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the things that people brought up is pride. You know, it's a prestigious job if you're in the transportation industry to operate a train. It's good money. Everyone we talked to, even people who had gone through this, said, you know, I really love my job. I love doing what I do. I love the responsibility. So people do stick with it for the most part. But we did interview one woman who is still working for SEPTA, but has not operated a train since she hit somebody. Her story was awful. She had a woman, a young girl, actually a teenager, jump in front of her train and survived. She was a subway operator. And she said, I don't want to do this anymore. Give me something else to do. So they assigned her to be a cashier. And then just a few weeks after she came back to work and started working as a cashier, she watched a guy jump the turnstile and jump in front of a train. And so she had kind of hoped she had dodged the bullet by not, you know, hitting somebody and causing a death. And then she ended up witnessing one, you know, just after coming back to work. So it's her story did stick with me, and it's really sad.
Jason Lachlan is a reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. Jason, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
And if you or someone you know is in need of mental health treatment, the number for the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's national hotline is 1-800-662-4357.